This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped or we looked into Surah Al-Qari'ah, the coming of the hour, or the shattering or the shaking of the hearts, the clamoring of the hearts, whereby we mentioned that human beings would be dispersed and disorientated on that day, running helter-skelter, not knowing what to do. And that same theme of Al-Qari'ah begins to spill over into Surah At-Takathur, whereby this concept of being in a state of ghafla, in a state of heedlessness, just like inside coming towards Al-Akhirah, people will be heedless or unaware of the coming of Al-Akhirah. People inside this dunya are heedless, are unaware regarding their preparation for Al-Akhirah. That's Imam Razi inside his tafsir, he mentions that the coming of Al-Qari'ah or the following Surah At-Takathur, why is it placed there? It is placed there لِلْتَدَبُّرْ or لِسْتِعْدَادْ. Straight after Surah Al-Qari'ah, speaking about the Day of Judgment, you find Al-Hakum At-Takathur, the mutual rivalry, the boasting and the heedlessness upon this dunya, it distracts you, derails you from Al-Akhirah. Bima'na that this Surah is giving you the key point about preparing yourself to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in preparation for Al-Qiyamatul Kubra. Al-Isti'dad Qabl Al-Mawt. To prepare yourself before death, not after death. Thus ulama have divided the concept of what is Al-Qiyamah. What is the hereafter or the Day of Judgment? There's what is known as Al-Qiyamatul Kubra. The major Day of Judgment that many of us that we read about and we study about and it interests us what will take place towards the end of time. Or what will happen inside Al-Akhirah. But there's something that precedes that, a prelude to that, that all of us that we will face, which is a stepping stone towards Al-Qiyamatul Kubra, which is classified as Qiyamatul Sughra, the minor day of judgment. And in essence, the minor day of judgment is the real day of judgment. Because Al-Mawt kalamhi al-basar aw huwa aqrab. Death is like the blinking of an eye or even quicker and swifter than that, in regards towards Al-Akhirah. Because a person who's raised from their grave, كَمْ لَبِثْتْ قَالَ لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ. How many days did you reside upon this earth? Said, I lived for only a day, or part of a day, or partial day that I lived. But this is how the Akhirah is, how Al-Mawt is, that a person can sleep for many days. A person can sleep like Ashabul Kahf, who slept for a long time, who slept for more than 300 years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awoke them. So this is what death is, Al-Qiyamatu Sughra. That many of us, we don't want to, obviously, we don't want to face it or we don't want to discuss it. That even as Muslims, we find it is the least discussed topic inside our life. When it's the most reality inside our life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, near enough in every single page of the Quran, will speak about death, about Al-Qiyamah, Al-Ruju' ila Allah, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Musibah, Al-Haq, the calamity, Al-Mawt, all these various derivatives inside the Quran speaking about the return. So the why Al-Aqil, the intellectual individual, is the one who begins to prepare himself for Al-Akhirah, begins to prepare themselves for Al-Mawt. Kafa bil-mawti wa'idhan. In some ahadith that we find, sufficient it is that death itself is a maw'idha, is an admonition, that when you enter into the graveyard, you bury a deceased, a loved one, it becomes a maw'idha. It doesn't become to discuss politics or to meet people or to be with friends or to discuss things. كَفَى بِالْمَوْتِ مَوْعِظًا. Sufficient is that mawt awakens the individual. And a strange thing about it, some mu'arrikhun of seerah, of history, tariq, have mentioned that Umar al-Khattab, نَقَشَ عَلَى, he printed this on his ring. كَفَى بِالْمَوْتِ مَوْعِظًا, that he had it on his ring. That sufficient it is, every time he looks at his ring, sufficient is that mawt, death is a remembrance, is an awakening for the individual. That's what Al-Mawt should be. The awakening of the individual. يَنْقِلُنَا مِنَ الْقُصُورِ إِلَى الْقُبُورِ. This dunya or death, as Imam Saburi inside his tafsir, he mentions, it takes you from مِنَ الْقُصُورِ. Takes you from your palaces إِلَى الْقُبُورِ. Takes you to the graves. Person may think, I don't live in a palace. But as they say, the proverb that every man's house is his palace. يَنْقُلُكُمْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will take all of us from this dunya towards ila al-akhirah. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. You're only upon this world for a short span of time. A short span of time you reside upon this earth, then the return is back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this surah is awakening for us Muslims to remind ourselves about the preparation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This surah, which is a Meccan surah, even though Imam Shawkani inside his tafsir begins to highlight, Imam Bukhari goes to review, it's a Medinan surah. And we're going to mention the end of the surah of certain words that the Prophet والسلام, he mentioned. From amongst the fada'il, this surah, At-Takathur, also known as Al-Mughira, that we find that in Mustadrak Imam Al-Hakim, that we find the Prophet والسلام, attributed to him, even though his hadith is weak, but just to show, highlight the importance of this surah. He said, "Man minkum yastati an yaqra alfa ayah?" Who amongst you is able to recite 1,000 ayat? Obviously, it's very difficult to read 1,000 ayat in a night or in a day that we find. If you're able to read surah to takathur, that would be equivalent to 1,000 ayat. This surah. When kana hadha al-hadith da'if, is weak, we find Imam al-Ghazali inside his work, Jawhar al-Qur'an, speaking about the jewels of the Qur'an. He says, "Anna al-Qur'an, ayatul Qur'an, akthar min 6,000. The ayat of the Qur'an are more than 6,000, 6,300 or 26 odd in number that we find. But we take the main figure of 6,000. If we divide it in six parts, you find that one part of the Qur'an is speaking about al-iqab, speaking about al-akhirah. So based upon this hadith becomes true. The way we read this surah is equivalent to 1,000 verses of the Qur'an. Another weak hadith that we find to show the magnitude of this surah, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "When I recite this surah, then weep. Weep when I recite this surah. فَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَطِعْ If you're not able to weep whilst I'm reciting this surah, فَتُحَاوِلْ Then try to weep." Meaning that the impact of this surah and pondering over this surah should make the individual weak. In a hadith that says Imam Tirmidhi that we find, we used to consider the following hadith, لَوْ كَانَ إِبْنِ آدَمْ وَادِيَانْ If the son of Adam had two valleys of gold, he would want another valley of gold. And nothing will fulfill that of that individual except for the turab that enters into the mouth of the individual, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابُ And Allah accepts the repentance of one who repents back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to consider this as a verse of the Qur'an. Even the ulama of hadith mentioned that the siyaq, the wording of such a hadith, doesn't fall into the parameters of the language of the Qur'an. The language of the Qur'an is unique. It's very unique. The language of the Qur'an, you can listen to the recital of the Qur'an, you can make a distinction between the Qur'an and a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But it shows how much reverence they showed to this hadith about al-akhirah, until this surah was sent down. Then it nullified this concept about piling up this dunya, that this surah now became sufficient for them. Al-haakumu takathur, hatta zurtumul maqabir. This mutual rivalry amongst yourself. Al-haakum. Ma huwa ma'ani al-haakum. That is mutual rivalry amongst yourselves. Al-tabahi bi kathratil mal. As Imam Abu Bakr al-Jazari inside the tafsir mentions, boasting. Boasting about your wealth inside society that we find. Boasting about what you possess. Likewise, we find this al-haakum is, it makes you shaghlatkum anil akhirah. It takes you away from al-akhirah. You begin to focus anil faniya min al-baqiya. You begin to focus upon that which is going to perish to that which will reside or remain for eternity. That is what al-haakum is. Al-haakum, as Imam Shawkani mentioned in his tafsir, al-haakum anit ta'a, ansaakum, it makes you forget, focusing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and takes you away from anit ta'a, takes you away from obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned many times, anything of the dunya, when kana halalan, anything which is even permissible, if it takes you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to be a form of loss for that individual. There's going to be a loss for that individual inside this dunya, and likewise more so inside al-akhirah. So this al-haakum that we find, this mutual boasting amongst ourselves, that the person thinks, or excessive play and amusement, as Shaykh Uthaymeen mentioned inside his tafsir, it goes back to the word al-lahu, play al-la'ib, play and amusement, that so many people are worried about play and amusement. In authentic hadith that we find from amongst 1,000 people, 999 will go to the hellfire. From 1,000 people, 999 will go to the hellfire because they're busy with this dunya. They're only worried about this dunya, the rivalry of this dunya, the boast of this dunya. قَالَ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفَرًا Inside Surah Al-Kahf. This person boasts, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا I have more wealth than you. I have more progeny than you. That's why you read Surah Al-Kahf. There's Surah 18, Surah 110 verses, Arba fitan. There are four fitan that are mentioned inside this surah. Ma nurakkiz alayha, that we don't focus upon it. Amongst them is fitnatul man, the fitna of wealth, that it can derail a person away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this boasting about one's wealth, one's property, and rivalry for this, al-haakumu takathur. Then Allah mentions at-takathur. Allah doesn't highlight what is this mutual rivalry. Even this mutual rivalry can be an-nasab. It can be al-qaba'il, your tribes, your lineage, your wealth, your children, your people. Mutual boasting about this. And that's some of the ulama tafaseer that mentioned that the tribes would boast amongst themselves. The Quraysh would boast to other tribes that look what we possess, what we own, what we have. Just like today, people have their clans, they have their tribes, they have their family ancestry that they have, and they boast upon that. And a strange thing that inside this tafsir, this surah, that some of the ulama that they mentioned, even hatta zurtumul maqabir, when they go to visit the graves, they're still boasting. That's one interpretation, that when they enter the graves, they're still boasting one another. This is ajdaduna. This is our family. This is our tribe. This is our forefathers. This is so-and-so. This is so-and-so individual. They haven't still taken the ibrah. They still haven't taken the lesson. That's why when a person's heart becomes qasi, thumma qasat qulubuhum, their hearts become harsh. That's why some of the ulama, the tafsir, Surah Al-Baqarah, they mentioned that the context, the siyaq of these ayat is speaking about what? What is it speaking about? It's speaking about al-maut. That the death was shown to them. Allah kind of brought back the haifa, the cow, in front of them back to life. But still, they did not wake up. Then they saw death in front of them. And death came to alive in front of them. They still wanted more. More of a reminder. What more of a reminder do you want? When death is there in front of you. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Then their hearts became even more harsh, more stern, more hard than even a rock. And here ulama begin to discuss about the heart should be something, a soft entity. Something that when it sees the reminder, when it sees ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts become soft, begin to quiver, begin to shake, begin to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these individuals boasting amongst themselves, boasting around them, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُ. Then we find حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. And the real meaning here is qinaya. Is hatta zurtumul maqabir, when you go and visit the graves. It doesn't mean visit the graves, it means hatta tamut. That when you actually die, that's when you're going to awaken. That all of this that you was playing with, this play and amusement. That's why Imam Shanqiti inside his tafsir, he brings numerous ayat speaking inside the Quran about al-la'ib wal-lahu. The word lahu goes back to al-haqum. I'lamu annamul hayatu dunya la'ibun wal-lahun. وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Inside Surah Al-Hadid, what is this word? These four things, mutual boasting amongst yourselves about your wealth, your property, play and amusement. And if we study al-la'ib wal-lahu, what is this dunya at the moment? I'm not here to downplay sports and activities, but look at this dunya, look at this world around us, that so many of us Muslims are sucked into this. We have the football, then the Wimbledon, then we have the Olympics, then we have McLaren, then we have this, then we have that. Life continues, then the World Cup, then this, then cricket, then this. I'm not going to delve into what's halal and haram. Just understand the concept yourself. Life for us has become play, amusement. One game to another game that we find Muslims, ما يعرفون أقاعدهم. They don't know their belief. A sport is just a sport. There's no walwala walbara. There's no loyalty and disloyalty. There's no increase of Islam or decrease of Islam that people feel so passionate about it, that it's going to be some form of success for us. There are parameters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person exists in. There are certain things a person does to strengthen Islam, to make Islam become more vocal, more powerful. Those symbols of Islam are those of practicing Islam. That's what makes Islam powerful. These are things of the dunya that they derail us, and so many of us Muslims become emotional about this. And just as a side point, come in an nas. How many people prayed Maghrib and Isha on that day? I don't care, it was 55 years in coming. I don't care, it was 55 years. Because that could have been your final moment of your life. Are you going to say to Allah, I was waiting 55 years so I didn't go to the masjid? Is that your excuse in front of Allah? What a baseless excuse. What a base excuse a person could feel even so comfortable to think that I this 55 years, so now there's no harm in going to the masjid for men. وَخَصُوصًا إِذَا تَسْكُنْ قَرِيبٍ لِلْمَسْجِدِ. And if you live close to the masjid, you gave preference to this rather than coming in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows our aqeedah. Then we cry about the world. We weep about the world. We weep about our suffering. We can't pick ourselves up for 5 minutes to go to the masjid and come back. Modern technology allows you to record, to watch replays, to see it later on. That's what it allows you to do. You have that facility. Not I'm giving a tacit approval to it, but it's there if you want to do it. But it shows da'ful iman, da'ful al-himam, da'f al-liqa Allah subhanahu, da'f weakness of meeting Allah. That now your iman is so weak that you give preference to this. There should be greater obstacles in our life to make us to stop coming to the masjid. Greater obstacles that have come there that stopped us from coming to the masjid. We can genuinely say to Allah, this is a genuine excuse, a sickness, a calamity, some hardship, traffic, some kind of hindrance that the person can use that excuse. What excuse is this? And likewise, we find the opposite, that we've noticed that many times inside our society, when certain sports take place, whether it be MMA fights or boxing take place in Las Vegas, they can take place at different time zones to us. People will come for Fajr. Alhamdulillah, it's a good thing they come for Fajr. But where are they the rest of the days? Why are they making a point in case to be there for Fajr and then to go watch this sport or watch this game? Where's your iman for the rest of the days? Why don't you have that same passionate feeling inside your heart? Why am I not there every single day for Fajr? Why don't I have that feeling to get up, exert myself? You exert yourself to stay up to watch this. You exert yourself for that, but you won't exert yourself to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَأْتُونَ السَّلَاةَ إِلَّا كُسَالَ. They only come, when they come to Salah, they're dragging their feet. أَثْكُلُ السَّلَاةَ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ. The most difficult prayer for the hypocrites is Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha. We can all check ourselves, make a checklist of ourselves. How many times have I missed Fajr in the masjid? How many times have I missed Isha? I'm watching this sport, watching this game, eating this, meeting this person, doing this. Every day, it's becoming ritually a practice in our lives. It should be abnormal. It should be once in a while a person's delayed, food is served late, person has to meet someone, do something. Once in a month maybe. Once in a while. But every other day that we find this becomes habitual, it shows that our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a weak link. This is also things that derail us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhaakumut takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir. Until you visit the graves. And here we find this ayah, as many ulama, like Imam Tabari, inside the tafsir begins to speak about the ayah, zurtumul maqabir, visiting the graves, about death. It even speaks about azabul qabr. And you find in some narrations, Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, that we find that Imam Ali radiallahu anhu considered that we were looking for an ayah or a surah inside the Quran that will speak about punishment of the grave, and this is the ayah. Or this is the surah. That is, surah is speaking about al-maut, is speaking about the punishment inside the grave. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ وَقَالَ الْعَرَبِ. The Arab said, wallahi az-za'ir, the one who's visiting, is not going to be residing in a place. Because Allah didn't say hatta muqimin, hatta you stay in the graves. Bima'na that this is also a temporary location. As Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, he mentions, you're going to pass the grave to go to al-akhirah. So meaning, latub'athanna, you're going to be resurrected. That after the station of the grave, there's going to be another ending. There's going to be the real success. People, as we've said, players in this dunya, winners and losers. The dunya is a replica of al-akhirah. There's going to be winners and losers inside al-akhirah. Winners are going to whom? Ashabul jannati humul fa'izoon. People of Jannah are going to be fa'izoon. And those people who focus on this dunya, lose this dunya. Khasirat dunya wal akhirah ala dhalika wal khusranul mubin. The losers who lose this world and lose al-akhirah. That is the most manifest loss. So be players of dunya for al-akhirah. Don't be players of the dunya just for the sake of the dunya. There are many of us that we entice into this. This becomes a pattern inside our life. This becomes a benchmark. It becomes a role model. The role model is a sahaba. his companions, his al-anbiya wa rusul, wa salihin, wa shuhada, wa siddiqeen. Those are the role models that we should be aspiring and look up to. 18, 19 years old that we find, conquering of Al-Hind that we find, Istanbul that we find, Constantinople. Victory given at the age of a young individual. Muhammad Fatih, what age? 18, 19 years old. The Prophet Zayd ibn Thabit, 18 years old, sent him on the final expedition, selected him. And the Prophet passed away. And then they began to say that, no, maybe we shouldn't send him, he's too inexperienced. Let us select another senior Khalifa, or senior person to lead his army. No. If the Prophet selected this individual whilst he was living, so it's well enough, good. It is that now he's passed away that we should still send Zayd ibn Thabit to lead the army. Where are Shabab at the age of 18? Where are they at the age of 19? Where are the age of 20? Where are they? What is their life? What is their aspiration? How many youth just pass away in a futile manner, in a baseless manner? What, may Allah forbid, what is going to be the ending of such individuals? As we find what's known as Adabul Qabr, that's the person should fear the punishment of the grave. That's why you find that the visiting of the graves, that ulama, they begin to discuss based upon this ayah. So many ahadith, the Prophet is encouraging people to go and visit the grave. أَلَا كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ فَزُورُوهَا. I prohibited you from visiting the graves because that time to dismantle shirk, to dismantle the coming of graves and asking from the graves. But now the tawheed has been established. So now go and visit the graves because it reminds you about al-akhirah. It is known as what is known as the thing that kills the desires, the passion. Hadimul ladhat biddal or bidhal. Hadimul ladhat. That which destroys desires, passions, even is halal, it destroys. What destroys them? It's the grave. That you find that in some works of tafsir, it mentions that what is the matter with this human being? That what is your end? Dikul qabr. The end of your life is going to be the restriction of the grave. That's it, that's the end of your life. So all these challenges, all this life that you lived, all this whatever you try to do in your life, that is the end result, that small location, that's it. That's what we find in a hadith, al-qabr, amma hufra min hufra al-jannah, is going to be riyad min riyad al-jannah, is going to be either a garden, this cavity, this hole that's been dug is going to be either going to be a garden from amongst the gardens of paradise, or it's going to be amongst the pits of the hellfire. That's what the grave is going to be for every single individual. That's why Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu kana yabki, used to weep, and his beard with tears would come down his grave, and people ask him, why are you weeping? There's far more, as we mentioned, Qiyamatul Kubra that's going to happen on the day of judgment. He said, inna hadha awwal manzil min manazil al-akhirah. This is the first station of the station of al-akhirah. Whoever is successful now inside the grave will be successful forever. Read about Adabul Qabr, as ulama have listed all what will take place inside the grave. All of us, we know the basic questions. Man Rabbuk, Ma Dinuk, Wa Man Nabiyuk. All of us, we know these questions. We're all programmed to know them. Who is your Lord? Your Lord is Allah. Who is your Prophet that sent to you? The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam. What is your religion? Ma Dinuk. Dini al-Islam, Ma Din, my way of life is al-Islam. All of us. Nantik biha, we all utter this now whilst we're living. We all know the answers. So why are the questions there? Why are the answers there? Why are they there for? Because kam min an-nas, how many people will not be able to utter the answer? Yuthabbitu Allahu alladhina amanu bil qawli thabiti fil hayati ad-dunya fil akhirah. Allah will give ithbat, give the ability for people to utter these words inside this dunya and inside al-akhirah. Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, he mentions, Al-Qawlu Thabit Hu Qawlu La Ilaha Illallah. Allah will give the ability. Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu. Tatanazzalu alayhimul malaikatu alla takhafu wa la tahzanu. Wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. Nahnu awliya'akum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna Allah. Those who say, Lord is Allah, thumma istaqamu. Then they remain steadfast upon that. What happens to these individuals? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Angels, they descend upon them. They greet them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't fear, don't grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Have glad tidings of paradise, of that which was promised. وَوَعْدُ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Don't ever question the promise of Allah. Question ourselves. Question ourselves that what have I done in my life to have the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find that the journey of the soul, as we mentioned, read the hadith al-Bara ibn Azim. The journey of the soul, what will take place for every single one of us. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. And that's some ulama, they mentioned, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ فِي الْقَبْرِ. Inside the grave, you'll get to know. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then again, you'll get to know inside al-akhirah. وَكَلَّا كَلِمَةُ الزَّجَرِ. كَلَّا, this letter, or this word, is, as ulama have discussed, is enough. Just the word كَلَّا. After all this siyaq, all this context, is enough to awaken the individual. Just one word. Ulama discussed that if you study it linguistically, if a person in authority is somebody defames them or says something about them, at that moment in time they're not able to get hold of them, they'll say, you will get to know. So for example, وَلِلَّهِ مَثُ الْأَعْلَى, a person who's a king of this world, a governor of this world, that somebody says something about this individual, any person in authority, or even a father speaking to the children, because at that moment in time they may be restricted. They say, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, you will get to know. That person will have sleepless nights. Why will they have sleepless nights? Because they know أَنَّ هَذَا الْوَعْدِ, or this effect, that this person has the ability to carry out what they're promising upon me. That the ruler, that when he does get hold of me, he will punish me, he will torture me, he will bring me to the gallows. That's human psyche. That's what the siyaq of this ayat, this context is, speaking about al-akhirah, speaking about the grave. So Allah says, kalla, that you should know that after all of this preparation, you should know for a fact there is no escaping from Allah. There's no escaping from Allah. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Then again you will get to know. Kalla law ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqeen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away any shubha. You're going to know a certain knowledge. That's why Imam Shankiti speaks about the three levels of knowledge. Of Aynul Yaqeen and Haqqul Yaqeen. That if your person hears about the Kaaba, they believe in the Kaaba. When a person looks at a photo of the Kaaba, it becomes Aynul Yaqeen. It becomes more stronger knowledge. But when a person is actually physically there, it becomes Haqqul Yaqeen. It becomes a reality. These are the stages of psyche of the human being that the Quran discusses inside this surah. That Allah speaks from it at a distance, then more closer than the reality that when you are brought forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that you're going to see, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا أَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ. You're going to see with a certainty. You're going to see Jahim. You're going to see Jahannam. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. There's not one of you except for you have to cross the bridge. You have to cross the path to enter into Jannah. Ala Rabbika, this is something which a promise upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to establish, it is going to be a fact. There's no escaping from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the warning for the individual, that reality of seeing Jahim on that day, then the person may begin to reflect and begin to... That's why if you read the Quran in Surah Al-Mu'minun, people begin to blame their friends. Blame their friend, Surah Al-Furqan. Person will say exactly the same thing. Ya waylata, ittakhattu fulanan khalila, laqad adallani ani dhikri ba'da idja'ani. Woe upon me. Woe upon me that I took this person as a friend. Took him as a khalil, an intimate friend. Laqad adallani ani dhikri ba'da idja'ani. Took me away from guidance. When I knew I was on guidance, come in shababina, how many of our youth? They read Quran, read as-salah, have good intentions, good life, but they begin to mix with the wrong crowd. And what happens? It derails them. It takes them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the masses of our youth at the moment. Come in as-su'al, how many questions we face on a daily basis of people who are away from the path of Allah? That they've indoctrinated themselves with vices and sins, and lost the path. They don't know where they are. Just in his week alone, speaking to a person who's inside prison, sentenced to 22 years, claiming that he's innocent of this crime, or this heinous crime, But I asked him a simple question, that 20 years prior to this, what was your life? What was your life in the 20 years build up towards this? It was nothing but disobedience of Allah. So reflect upon your life. This could be a form of tahara, a form of purity, that Allah is purifying you. That 20 years you disobeyed Him. You live life like a kafir. Kunta tashrab al-khamar wa tazni wa tasriq. You used to lie, steal, rob, fornicate, commit adultery, take drugs, drink alcohol, do every single haram under the sun. And then say that, why am I being punished for? وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظُلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ Your Lord doesn't oppress anyone. But this could be kafara, that Allah still loves this individual, wants this individual to awaken. That's the way we should see this. Because he was asking me, those people who set me up into prison, should I go and take hits on them? I said, what kind of aql is this? That's what most people want to hear. Give me a photo of those people who placed me here. Let me go and retaliate. There's no retaliation. Because if they didn't retaliate against you, your mindset was to retaliate against them. So your mindset is exactly the same. That if they done it, you they didn't get you, you would have got them. So you both deserve equal punishment. You need to come take yourself out of the psyche and think that what will Allah say to me? Not what will the street say to me, what people will say to me, or my street credentials, what will happen to me. This one is a big ego, whether it be Islamic concepts or street concepts. The biggest sickness inside our society is the nafs, is the ego. Most of our debates with fellow Muslims is about the ego, that he said this about me, he spoke this about me, he made this comment about me, he said this about me. It's nothing but the ego. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ خَالِصًا مُخْلِصًا You sincere, you overlook these things. They don't mean many things. They don't mean much for an individual on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because of the ego that this person said this about me, because it's still jahiliyyah, you still don't ponder reflecting over the graves, that what will I be? That when you leave this dunya, after a short while, what will happen? People are not going to proclaim your name. They're no longer going to proclaim your name, that you're so-and-so. People are going to say, where is the dead corpse of so-and-so? Ain't a jutha. Where's the corpse? Where's the burial? Bring the burial. Bring the dead one. Bring him here. That's it. That's how you're going to remember. That's a few minutes. So your legacy collapses. Your life collapses. Your entourage collapses. Your ego collapses. Your life collapses. The only thing that remains there in that darkness is the ego within yourself of preparation, lillah. That's the only thing that in your soul now, the only thing that you're thinking about is now when Allah asks me, when Munkar and Nakir asks me, when they ask me, I am now ready to respond. Not I'm ready to respond to the people around me and waste all my life, waste my time worrying about what other people do and what other people say. Al-haakumu at-takathur hatta zurtumul maqabir has derailed many of us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ The end of the surah concludes that you're going to be asked about an-na'im, about ni'am, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been bestowed upon all of us. Imam Suyuti inside his tafsir begins to list all the different blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And some traditions, ahadith that we find that the Prophet ﷺ, he came out fi tīb in-nafs, in a good state, in a good soul, in a state of happiness, felicity. And he said that this is na'im. This is success. This is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even a person being content. It doesn't mean that content means to have wealth. Al-ghina, ghina nafs in the hadith. They find richness is richness of the soul. So when your person comes out in the morning and in a state of peace and rest and content with their life, this is a na'im. This is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that individual. And like with the numerous ulama of ahadith or tafasir, they mention this famous narration whereby the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he came out one day in a state of hunger. And he met Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Both of them had also come out in a state of hunger, walking around, that maybe someone may call them for some food to eat and to drink. So he asked them, what brought you out? What has brought you two out? They said, ajur, hunger. So they asked the Prophet, what has brought you out at this time of the day? He said, the same thing has brought me out. So he said, come, let us go to one of our companions, that maybe we can get something to eat and to drink. So they come to the house of one of the companions. The companion isn't home. And a wife is at the door, he says that he's arriving very soon. As soon as he sees the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, he becomes overjoyed. He becomes so happy that the guest inside my house is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So he takes down some rutab, takes down some fresh dates, and he gives them to the Prophet ﷺ. And he takes a knife or a utensil. And the Prophet ﷺ says to him that don't slaughter one which is giving milk, because it will benefit you. So he goes out and he sacrifices the animal. They cook it and they eat. They enjoy themselves. They speak. Then they leave. But look at the psyche of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Look at his deep teaching of his companions. As we began, we're not here to stop people from play and amusement. But there's a balance. He said to them, look how we came out in a state of hunger. No food and no drink. Indeed, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then we cited these verses. You're going to be asked about this simple meal. For us, we think nothing. Every day we eat well. We drink well. You know, the Prophet, most of his life, towards the end of his life, hardly ever did he eat meat inside his life. They lived on aswadan, the two black things, just water and dates. And even that, some ulama tafaseer, they mentioned, that in itself is a blessing. Whoever has some trinkets of water and a few dates, that is an-na'im. That's richness. That's richness. That you're anything beyond that, you're going to be asked about that. Compare that to our lives, of what we possess, what we own, what we have. And we think we won't be asked about it. Or some of us, we have the mentality, this is my due right. There's nothing that which is a due right. It is a due right that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do enjoy the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then make mention of them. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Speak about them. Share them. Encourage them. Use your wealth in the right direction. In the right direction. Helping the Muslim society. Helping Muslims around us. That's the aqil, the intellectual individual who's leaving behind his legacy, who leaves behind their wealth for the benefit of society around him, makes a waqf, makes something that will benefit people around him. That's why sometimes people may say that, you know, some of these Arabs, that the lifestyle that they live, but some of them, they are very, very intelligent individuals. They've used their wealth to benefit Muslim society. They leave behind a legacy. They leave behind awqaf. They leave behind trust that benefit Muslims after them. That's what we should take. We should take the khayr, the goodness, that if Allah has blessed me with wealth, blessed me with something, then I should be an intellectual individual. Use this wealth, use this property, make things that will help the wider society, to help them to come away from misguidance, to come away from play and amusement. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to stay away from that which will derail us from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take us away from His remembrance and make us live balanced lives. Yes, we live in this modern world around us. We don't deny that fact. But live a balanced life in instilling ourselves that don't become so overcome with rivalry and boasting and this dunya and lose al-akhirah. Lose your vision towards al-akhirah.